In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We are very fortunate this week. This is the fifth week of the blessed Coptic month of Paap, and on the fifth week of any month, normally we will pray the blessing of the five loaves and the two fish, the multiplication of blessings at the hand of our Lord, feeding the multitude. But today, because it's the 29th, we remember the Nativity. I keep saying that. Of course we remember the Nativity. We remember the Annunciation, the Nativity, and the resurrection of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this to you last week because, you know, if you take the first 4 weeks, in the first week we see the young man who was paralyzed. In the next week, we see the fishermen who have failed to do anything. And the Lord said, with me, essentially, there's going to be bounty. I'm going to make you fishers of men, but to show you the power that is going to be with you, let your nets out for a draft and see what happens. And the multitude of fish were so great, as you know, that even though they had called to the shore for their brethren, another boat was brought into the pulling up of the net. But even between the two boats, they began to take on water because the net was so heavy, laden with fish. In the third week, remember the demoniac, the person who was blind and mute. And in the last week, the son of the widow of Nain. Now, these represent mankind in all of its incapacity. We are blind. We are mute. We are paralyzed. We are ineffective at our work. But the Lord says, hear me now. And when we read from the very first writings of the evangelist Luke, the good physician, we see the tenderness of the Lord expressed in the way in which he made himself available to us through his incarnation. And we have these, we're lucky to have these icons. If you start way over here, you see the Annunciation with Archangel Gabriel. And then you have the overshadowing where the Holy Spirit impregnates the Virgin Mary. And then you have the meeting of Saint Mary with Saint Elizabeth. And these things are mentioned. There's a difference also in the type of querying, the questioning that occurred in the heart of the Virgin, as opposed to, and we look at John's father, Zechariah the priest. When the angel told him, he was incredulous. I'm too old. My wife's too old. The Virgin also questioned. So why wasn't she similarly treated? Because you know, because of his lack of faith in what was told him, he was made mute. But not the virgin. Why? Because the questioning arose because of her virginity. Because of her virginity. She had never been with a man, ever. So how is she going to be impregnated? It was something that was beyond her understanding, and frankly, beyond my understanding, and I'm sure that I'm speaking for the rest of us when I say beyond all of our understanding. How does this happen? Well, indeed, it did happen. And when we think about even after giving birth, she was a virgin. There was a very famous doctor. He writes theological texts, or not texts, that's too big a word. treatise. He will write opinion pieces. He's a gynecologist in Colorado. And this is before they had a really good group of people that could start a church. They had a visiting priest for a while, but it took them a while in most places for them to gather people together in a serious way to get money, build a church. This guy was one of those people that was spiritual, very much interested, but there was a deep flaw in him. And he expressed this flaw in this manner. He said, "I have delivered hundreds of babies. I have seen hundreds of women get episiotomies." That's the cutting of the obstetrical perineum to make tearing of the muscles limited. If you ladies don't know about it, you will. And he said, "It can't be that she's a virgin. What does it say? What does it say in the book of Ezekiel? The Lord entered in through the closed gate." This is also why there was never the thought of Saint Joseph ever to defile this sanctuary of the Lord with carnality. It never occurred to him. And you know, people will say, "Well, this is just an impossibility. How can flesh and bone come through this very tiny orifice of the cervix? How is that possible?" I turn your attention to after his resurrection, when you met St. Thomas. The door was closed because of fear for the Jews, and the Lord entered into the room, and he said, "Peace be unto you." And then he said, "Thomas, handle me." Flesh and blood came through the closed door after his resurrection. His entrance into the world was the very same way. His flesh and his blood entered through. When you think about these things, they are terrifying with regard to the power of God. And yet, this is all done for us. So when we think about ourselves, you know, some people here are paralyzed in their psychology. They just can't get over something. There's a problem that has occurred to them in the past, and this problem is brought into each day of their future. This is paralysis. There's some people that if you ask them to talk about something that has happened, they can't speak. They're mute. There are things that are happening good around all the people, but because of their depression, they can't see them. They're blind. There are people that will never hear good advice. They're deaf. There are people around us that simply are being described in all of the parables that we have just prayed in this last 4 weeks. And they're sitting among us to a greater or lesser extent. People hold on to things. You know, your parents, your spouse, siblings. People hold on to things. The Lord wants to lift us all, each individually, whatever our individual problems are, he wants to lift us from this, to take our eyes off of the things of the flesh, off of the things that are material, off of the things that are made of dust, and to look at the things that are heavenly. We say in the funeral liturgy, there is man who is terrestrial, and there is man who is celestial. The difference is your disposition. It's your view of things. If you keep looking on the same plane that your feet occupy, you will never get to heaven. You must look above. And if you are looking below, I can only suggest that that's where you belong. Not because God made you that way. Not because God did not do everything that he could to remove you from that. But that ultimately becomes a sign of our will. We choose. You've always seen, all of you have seen, you know, my big fat Greek wedding, right? Well, the husband may be the head of the house, but the woman is the neck. And the woman turns the head the direction she wants the woman to go. Well, in the spiritual life, it's your will. It's your will. You can choose. I have all kinds of problems. You know, there are things that people tell me when I go to confession. You see, I don't know what it's like for you when you go to confession, but when I go to confession, people give me words of encouragement, the people that I've confessed to. Now, in my life, I've confessed to exactly three people. Abuna Lua Sidros, Abuna Bishoy Gobriel, and Abuna Ibrahim Aziz. And the reason was because I needed to have the remission of my sins through the prayers of absolution. But the advice I got was always encouraging. It was always encouraging. However, I never took it that way. I always felt guilty, and I always felt that the kindness that was being shown me, I didn't deserve. Because when the moment came for me to act in the way that I had been trained and educated to act, I failed. And I failed not because I was ignorant. I failed because, as I described before, I was either looking on a horizontal plane or I was looking downward. My eyes were cast downward. And so I did things that were unbecoming. I did things that were profane. I did things that were absolutely sinful. And when they tried to say to me, you know, many people face trials and many people fall, but through this you will experience the grace of God. It just made me cry all the harder. And I mean real tears. You know, one of the things about getting old, there's only one guy in America now that ever saw me when I looked good as a bodybuilder and I was terrifically strong, and he lives in Washington State. His name is Robert Zachary Milstein. You can Google him. You can even call him on the phone and ask him. And now that Abuna Lua Sidros has passed, I don't have anyone that is alive, because Abuna Ibrahim, he's slowly withdrawing from life, very, very slowly. The light is getting more and more dim, and all who have loved him or ever been loved by him should pray for him. But no one will be able to say, yes, this is the way in which Peter or Father Bishoy received the words of reconciliation at the time of his confession. He received them in this manner. You know, the fathers of the church called confession the second baptism, because you are not immersed in water, but you shed water yourself through your own tears. And when this doesn't happen, when this doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen to everybody, and it's a grace, it's a gift, but it reminds you that if you are hard on yourself, And you don't go in there looking for an excuse to be made because of the way in which you, by your own free will, have chosen to live, it will be much easier for those tears to come. Much easier. If you go into confession thinking that I will get relief, it would be like taking a shower. Taking a shower is easy, isn't it? I took one before I came to church today. I hope you all did as well. My point is, though, not being facetious any longer, I do these things to break up the seriousness of it because I think that sometimes it's just overbearing for many of you. But for me, what I want to say is, when you understand exactly how bad you are, and when you are confessing exactly how bad you are, not making an excuse for your behavior, when you are confessing that, then you receive the grace of God fully. Fully. There's a book out about the memoirs of Abunaluwa's imprisonment. And he talks about these kinds of graces as he received them and the rest of the people who were imprisoned unjustly after the murder of Sadat. How he and the 84 that were with them, how they received the blessings of confinement that they had to deal. He said in one point that there were so many cockroaches, and he was in a dormitory style place. They moved him from place to place, and he was in the third. They had three cots. They slept on in three levels. Each bed had three levels. There used to be a granary, and they had rats that were the size of house cats. And at night, these rats ran a race along the top row of all of the beds. They were so close that they jumped from bed to bed, on priest to priest. And as the priests were frightened by these things, and they let out a loud voice, and then they realized what happened. Thank God none were bitten. But then they had a great laugh at it. But he talks about being in a like a 4x5 cell with another person. And there's just a hole in the floor for human waste. And they're finding the blessing of God. You see, if you dig down into your psychology, if you dig down deep inside yourself, you will find this same infestation, this same dirtiness, this same incarceration given to some kinds of addictions, personality addictions. Like if somebody does this, there's an immediate, I'll do that. It's without thinking. It's almost like rote. He goes A, you go B. Just that way. You can break this. And through this breaking down, they found that God was even more tender and more kind. I'm not saying this because he's my father of confession for 41 years, but rather that you should read this because it will give you an insight into the character and the content of many people with whom there are these little one-page kind of character portrayals about people and the way in which they experience prison together. We start the next Coptic month with the same lesson 2 weeks in a row. And this lesson is going to be about the sower who went to sow seed in different locales and the different things that happened to the seed. 2 weeks in a row we're going to have this. I want you to think about why. I talk, you hear the words from the Bible, you hear the liturgical prayers. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? What are you going to do about it? This is what defines our character. And I hope for each and every one of you the very, very best. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, in the age of all ages. Amen.